Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me again today. This is your host, Brother T, back with you today as we begin to study Lesson 29, God is in Everything I See. So let's jump right in. The idea for today explains why you'll see all purpose in anything. I'm going to read that again. The idea for today explains why you can see all purpose in anything. It explains why nothing is separate, by itself or in itself. And it explains why nothing you see means anything. In fact, it explains every idea we have used thus far, and all subsequent ones as well. Today's idea is the whole basis for vision. God is in everything I see. Let's take a good deep breath. You will probably find this idea very difficult to grasp at this point. You may find it silly, irreverent, senseless, funny, and even objectionable. Certainly, God is not in a table, for example, as you see it. Yet we emphasized yesterday that a table shares the purpose of the universe. And what shares the purpose of the universe shares the purpose of its creator. Try then today to begin to learn how to look on all things with love, appreciation, and open-mindedness. You do not see them now. Would you know what is in them? Nothing is as it appears to you. Its holy purpose stands beyond your little range. When vision has shown you the holiness that lights up the world, you will understand today's idea perfectly. And you will not understand how you could ever have found it difficult. God is in everything I see. Our 6 2-minute practice periods for today should follow a now familiar pattern. Begin with repeating the idea to yourself, and then apply it to randomly chosen subjects about you, naming each one specifically. Try to avoid the tendency towards self-directed selection, which may be particularly tempting in connection with today's idea because of its wholly alien nature. Remember that any order you impose is equally alien to reality. Your list of subjects should therefore be as free of self-selection as possible. For example, a suitable list might include God is in this coat hanger. God is in this magazine. God is in this finger. God is in this lamp. God is in that body. God is in that door. God is in that wastebasket. In addition to the assigned practice periods, repeat the idea for today at least once an hour, looking slowly about you as you say the words unhurriedly to yourself. At least once or twice, you should experience a sense of restfulness as you do this. God is in everything I see. Let's pause for a moment. Let's take a good deep breath. God is in everything I see. Not too long ago, I was teaching a class, and I was sharing with my students, and we were talking about beauty. We were talking about things that are pleasing to the human eye, if you will, and the human mind. And so I was asking the students a question about, okay, what, when you think of beauty, you know, like taking a walk in the forest as an example, and you feel a sense of closeness to God. What are the things that you think of that remind you, if you will, of God? And sometimes it can be art, things that we see that are expressions of art that we know absolutely have been inspired. Music certainly is a creative outlet for spirit through those who allow themselves, their minds to open up and allow spirit to work through them and to create beautiful melody, beautiful art, beautiful prose, beautiful poems. There's many, many things that we can look to and say, ah, you know, I can see God in this. I mean, I can feel love in this. I can see inspiration, that someone was inspired in expressing and making this, whatever this thing in form might be. Even in nature, of course. We can often see the creative mind and the creative hand, if you will, of God in nature. I see it often in the clouds and the sky. The sky is always one of my go-tos personally because I know I'll never see the same sky, literally. Because the sky is, it's impossible for you to ever experience the same sky. It just can't be done. You know, it's forever being made new. God, we could say love, is forever being expressed in a new way. Creation didn't happen in 7 days. Creation is happening now and now and now and now forever and ever. Amen. It's wonderful. So we were talking about that in the group, and then I said, okay, let's close your eyes and take a good deep breath, and here's another question. How many of you see God when you go to the garbage dump? When you see trash, or when you see something that looks destroyed or damaged or broken, do we think about God then? Because it's all the same. It's our perception, you see, and our preferences that we lay over what we will accept or not accept as representation of God, or representation of love, or representation of creation, or of a higher power. But it's all the same. Recently, my wife and I were driving down the street, and we saw a skunk had been run over in the road, right? And so we tend to say, oh, that poor skunk, right? And just up the road, we've gone a little further, and there was a box that somebody had dropped off out of the back of their car or truck or whatever, right? And it was laying across the road. And, of course, it had also been destroyed by the traffic. And I said, oh, poor box. It had a life. It had a purpose. It had something that it was doing that was fulfilling some purpose, you know, for the human, if you will. And the skunk was living a life. And I said, but you know, it's all the same thing. And we laughed about it and we talked about it. Because truly, our friend the skunk, if you will, is free. If we're no longer encased, if you will, and believe ourselves to be, you know, this thing in form, you know, the mortal coil, as my wife likes to refer to it, we're free. When we wake up in the morning, we're free of the dimension of the small sleeping self. We kind of become imprisoned in that illusory state of sleep. And when I believe when we wake up, we awaken in this, then we become the elevated form, if you will, of spirit in form, the capital S self in form. So do we lament the box? It had a life and no longer has a life. It got ran over on the road. The same way we lament the skunk or the squirrel or the rabbit or whatever we see on the road. Do we lament that existence is no longer? Or do we recognize that there's no such thing as death, and there's no such thing as life ending, and it's a complete illusion that life in form is the only form of life. Life in form is not the only form of life. Life is. Form is just an expression of what is, the all in all. And it is all in all, the box the skunk, the trash, the mountain made of at the local, you know, trash heap, sanitation system, everything is all, is the same in all. God is in everything I see. So yes, we can have some resistance to some of these ideas. It's normal because we've been conditioned. We always, often I should say, most of us really lament when a child is taken from us, if you will, in form and transitions. And we say, oh, that's such a shame. Is it? Is it really? Because life doesn't end there. It cannot end there. I think part of maybe my own personal thoughts about that is, you know, because I had a younger brother who passed away when he was 3. And I was like 5 years old, just a couple years older. But that was, and it was really one of my very first memories. But I didn't know at that age that I was supposed to be sad. I didn't know at that age that I was supposed to grieve. I felt a sense, you know, that he had, you know, I'm just trying to absorb what was going on at that very young age, that he would be missed, of course, in my life. He wasn't going to be, I was accepting, I could accept that. I could see that he wouldn't be coming back home. But I didn't see it as a tragedy. I just saw it as, okay, this is what is. Because I didn't have another reference. But I quickly was given a reference by the adults in my life, my parents, my grandparents, aunts and uncles, you know, all those around me that were in deep despair. Deep, deep despair. Because something had been lost to them. And it was what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to grieve. It's like a requirement. I mean, if you don't grieve the passing of someone or something, then you're not a very nice person, or you're not a very caring person, you're not an empathetic or compassionate person, etc., etc. But those are constructs of a limited mind called ego. Small self. Life does not begin here and it does not end here. This is a momentarily blink in the grand scheme of things of an expression of God. You are an expression of God in form. I am an expression of God in form. And for this momentary blink in time, that I'm expressing in form as this body mind, I have this wonderful opportunity to know myself and to know my Creator in this relationship of all in all with itself, relationship with all. We cannot be separated from what we are, the skunk, the box, the trash, the flower, the rose. It's all the same thing. God is in this coat hanger, this magazine, and this finger, and this lamp, and this body, and this door, and this skunk. And even in the form that no longer is being activated by an entity we could call the life force of the skunk. Form is form, but it's just temporary, but it's all God, because it's all mind. Everything that you dreamed about in your dreams last night, I had some very vivid dreams last night when I woke up. That was a few hours ago, so now, and I can't really even remember them. I can't remember. They fade very quickly, don't they? But the point is that Everything I experienced in that dream that appeared to be form, that appeared to be people, that appeared to be things in my dreams last night was all mind. It was a construct of existing in form, and it was real to the touch, it was real to the sight, it was real to the audio hearing. I could hear people talking. I was having physical experiences of form, but it wasn't really there, was it? I mean, I can't show it to you because as soon as I woke up, it collapsed. It's gone. It was just my imagination. Just my imagination once again. But it's all made up of the same thing. Mind. Images in mind. A story in mind that's played out like a movie in mind and creating a dreamscape, landscape, dreamscape, making an illusory world out of mind. And it all then, therefore, everything in my dream last night that I thought was form, that I thought was real, and some things were inanimate objects, like a table or a lamp or a chair. And some of the things looked to be alive, like people. I don't believe there were any animals in my dreams last night, but I do remember some people in my dreams last night. And they were alive, and other things were inanimate, objects, things of form, tables, chairs, and lamps. But wasn't it all exactly the same thing? Yes, every bit of it. All of it was a projection of my imagination. The same as it was of yours. So could I say that Brother T was in everything in my dream last night? Absolutely. It was all a part of me. Every part of it. Whether I was looking at the trash heap or whether I was looking at a beautiful rose. Whatever my dream, you know, manifested as in my imagination and my little storyline, my little journey that I was taking myself on, every part of it was a part of me. I was in all of it. Can we make that argument? Can we appreciate that? Can we be okay with that? Yes. I was in every part of everything I experienced in my dream all night long because it was an expression and an extension of my mind. Was it an illusory creation, or I should say a making of something temporal, something that was, you know, not real? Yeah, we can readily accept that. And what about the people? Did all the people die when I woke up? No. They were all expressions of me as well. No one died when I woke up. The only thing that died, if you will, was the story that I was telling myself came to an end. I just quit living the story in mind. And the images, the movie, you know, I just released it. I just let it go. I appeared to have a body, absolutely, but I just let it go. God is in everything we see right now because everything we see right now is a projection of mind. It looks like form, solid, concrete, real. This is a real table. You can hear me tapping on. Absolutely. It is real in my perception right now. But I promise you, 100 years from now, this table, it's very unlikely that it'll still be in the same form that it's in if it exists at all in this form as a table. And it'll have and endure many changes to its expression in the next 100 years. Some but certainly not all, at my hand because of my relationship with it. And it's all about relationship. We talked about it recently in one of our discussions, that everything in your experience right now, if you look around from where you are right now as you're hearing my voice, you are in resonance at one level or another with everything in your experience. You are in agreement with it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in your sphere of influence. It wouldn't be a part of your experience. Try to begin to learn how to look on all things with love, appreciation, and open-mindedness. God is in everything I see. Would you know what is in everything that you're looking at? If you don't, we don't really see with the body's eyes what's really there. We're really talking about what's looking beyond what's really there to the essence of it. And so that's where our discussion takes us today as far as referring to mind. So you might find this difficult to grasp at this point, and you might find it silly, irreverent, senseless, funny, and even objectionable. Certainly God is not in a table, for example, as you see it. Yet, we emphasized yesterday that a table shares the purpose of the universe, and what shares the purpose of the universe shares the purpose of its creator. God is in everything I see. So absolutely, we have an opportunity today to see things differently. Now, this stubborn little ego mind of mine, wants to argue the point. I know this is a book. I know this is a chair. I know this is a table. I know this is a coat. I know this is a window. I know. As soon as we say, I know, I, being the separated small self, claiming authority, claiming dominion over its domain, we're in a separated state of awareness. What we're moving to, and we've been pointing to for 29 days now, is the joining of mind. The joining of mind. We've talked about the process of listen, learn, and do. And we talked about it again yesterday, and we're going to keep talking about it because it is the essence of the practice that we'll return to again and again and again in A Course in Miracles called the Holy Instant. The Holy Instant is that moment when we pause from all of the external expression of self, small self, come to the center of our being. In other words, we become present to what is. And in that presence, we join in mind and heart with our higher self. Now, we could call it the Holy Spirit. It's just fine. We could call it one great mentor of the movement of the changing of mind, the curriculum that we're learning here that began his early journey into this study over 100 years ago and didn't have the benefit that we have today of this teaching called A Course in Miracles from our brother Jesus Christ. And so clearly there were some things that we had not yet begun to grasp 100 years ago, just like 100 years ago, we could barely get our airplane off the ground. And since then, we've already journeyed all the way to the moon. In fact, Elon Musk last year launched an automobile into space. Literally, a Tesla automobile just launched it into space. It's unbelievable what we've been able to accomplish in 100 years. And it's also unbelievable to many. But if you're studying the Course in Miracles with me, maybe it's not unbelievable to you that we have come very, very far in the last 100 years in the advancement, I would rather say in the ascension and the evolution of our consciousness. And because of that, because of what was started by some loving and caring people who read the Bible, if you will, and began to see things differently, and began to see that the Bible was pointing, and that the scholars and the novelists and those who were inspired by Spirit thousands of years ago, literally, and some a few hundred years ago, literally, because the Bible is always changing, many, many different versions going on and being added to all the time, yet still now. And those are some inspired, and some are because of an intent to control and hold power. And we got to get over that. It's okay to not be too serious about all this, because we cannot fail at evolving and at awakening. We may not do it all today, and it's possible to even devolve, but the point is we're moving toward a mass consciousness of our planet, the human race on this planet, Earth, Gaia, is evolving exponentially now. And because it's evolved so much, even in the last 50 years, since this was scribed by Jesus through Helen Schachman back and started in 1965, 55 years ago it began. And it's had such a huge impact on the evolution of all of man, the brotherhood, the sonship as he calls it, that more and more people are awakening and their minds are opening, and now Spirit is channeling through more and more people, adding to and clarifying and in helping us to do even more now in regards to our understanding of this curriculum. It's amazing, miraculous, a sudden shift of perception, and it's happening now all around us. And so I don't believe it's too hard for you to believe, because you're studying the Course in Miracles with me, that things have changed and will continue to change very rapidly now. And we are moving towards a time, I believe, of absolute world peace. In fact, the younger generation that's coming in now, they're not accepting that paradigm anymore. And they're just not going to put up with it. That we would go to war with each other and hurt each other and hurt innocent people because of one or two people's greed or one or two people's hatred, and destroy economies and destroy families and ruin lives because of someone's insanity, egoic mind. Well, that's where we are, my brothers and sisters, taking giant quantum leaps in the evolution of our consciousness. I love you. I'll be back tomorrow with Lesson 30. Stay the course. God bless.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send my love into the heavens and into